ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. I want to thank David Hagedorn for sitting in for me a couple of weeks ago. And if you think you're taking over this chair, man, it's not going to happen.
Well, he's coming back in a couple of weeks.
I'm back, yo.
But I
bigger and better.
No. Haggy is coming.
Yeah, he's going to...
He's going to come in. He's going to replace me, so it'll be like another foodie and a beast.
Well, he's cuter than you. All right, so we got a great show. I do want to mention one thing. We were out looking at puppies yesterday, and we ended up having lunch in Frederick, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't been to Frederick lately, into that Old Town area, it's
fantastic.
It's great.
Great shops, incredible, incredible restaurants, little, like, boutique places.
This is an unsolicited testimonial for Frederick.
Well, the tasting room is there, and, of course, Volt is there. And both
Volt
spaces are so modern and fantastically laid out. And then we went for barbecue, which was incredible. We had a good time.
Right.
Fun little day trip.
Let's talk about the show.
How about it?
If you're into kitschy knickknacks, D.C.'s Crafty Bastards Craft Fair is going to be the place to find them. It's coming up Sunday, October 1st, and event organizer Nick Wiseman is in here. He's from Roadside Food Projects. Last time we met him, he was picking dandelions off the medium or whatever you were doing.
Like that.
And also Brian Massey of Farm to Desk and Heather Bouley of Scrap DC are in here.
Did you say that right? It's Bouley, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Is it Bouley or Bouley?
It's Bouley.
Oh, I said it right.
You got it.
I feel like that's the name you want to say like over and over.
Here's what I want to say.
Bouley.
Here's what I want to say. Yeah, because my wife is a Bouley. All right.
And, only to my husband.
All right. You want to talk about Thunder Burger?
I'm happy to. You haven't shut up.
Well,
okay. So many people have heard that Thunder Burger in Georgetown is serving exotic meats. And the chef has come in today. He's brought some semi-exotic stuff with him. We're going to be digging into it, and that should definitely be fun.
And his name is Ryan Fichter, in case. See, I should have done it.
Do you want to just keep talking?
You just said the chef.
You can talk the whole time,
okay,
if that makes you happy.
Well, I just want to say he serves some wild stuff, including yak.
Okay. Do you want to say something after that, too?
I don't even know what all the yak looks like.
Okay, great. And the annual Taste of Bethesda is coming up. I mean, tastes have been happening all around the area for years now, but Bethesda is like one of the originals. They brought in Haleo and bundles of cookies, and we are going to be talking about what it takes to make a taste of delicious. And lastly...
Inspired by, I'm going to say it right, Jerez, right?
Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Spain's annual sherry festival. Mark Colors Estadio is saluting Spain's famed sherries all this month. And Max Color, interesting coincidence that you have the same last name
as the owner.
But Max is the restaurant's bar manager, and he's in to talk about Spanish sherry and all that. And Max, let's start with you, because my question is, I got a couple of questions, but sherry is the Spanish wine. It only comes from the area around Cadiz, right?
Exactly.
It's been around for thousands of years, but it's never been at the top of anybody's hit list. You don't walk into a bar and say, dude,
I think he's going to disagree with you.
Pour me two fingers of sherry. You know,
it hasn't been maybe in recent times, especially in this country, but definitely going back a little while, if you go back to the 19th century, it was known as the finest wine in the world.
Well, then what happened?
What happened?
Well, you know, I actually, marketing and a lot of things that happened in
you
this
country.
You
mean PR? PR was the problem with sherry?
Well, there was a whole bunch of sherries made to kind of appeal to the tastes of maybe more of the American palate, especially in the 60s and 70s.
Okay, so wait.
They had that ad campaign where they got the Four Seasons, Frankie Valli, to sing that theme song,
okay,
Sherry,
now you're
baby.
Stupid.
Thank you.
That's just stupid.
Been waiting all day for that.
But actually, I said to you when you came in, like, I certainly don't mind, like, a taste of sherry, but it just, in my head, I think sweet. Like, I think of my mother drinking Harvey Bristol cream, you know, back in the 70s, like that little glass like you have right now. And that stuff was horrible. I mean, I didn't like it when I was a kid.
Yeah, in actuality, all sherry is vinified dry, then there is some sweet sherries that are sweetened, but Actually,
and why are they
wrote,
sweetened? I mean, is it to appeal to a palate? Is it for cooking? What's the point?
It's to appeal to a palate, to a taste. I mean, cream sherries became super, super popular, and there's still a huge amount of demand for them.
Really?
But, you know, traditionally, most of the styles of sherry are, you know, get produced dry.
Mm-hmm.
There are a bunch of, there's fino styles, and manzanilla is a type of fino, which are bone dry, great aperitifs, super refreshing, great ways to start the morning. Actually.
I got a question: is sherry where is sherry produced all over the world, or is it really only out of Spain?
It's just produced in Eras.
Really?
So,
well, is it legally? Like, are there other people who are doing sherry type?
Well, is it like champagne in France and sparkling wine?
Definitely.
They're very strict over there in Europe about, like...
All right, so what are you going to pour first?
Well, first we're going to start with a manzanilla. So that comes from the coast.
What does a manzanilla mean?
A manzanilla, there's a specific type of yeast that grows in sherry called flor.
Okay.
So basically it grows on top of the liquid in the cask.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be, you know, just a thin layer. It can get very vigorous right along the coast, and it gets definitely more vigorous. So you get more of that kind of yeasty
you're
flavor.
You're going to taste it?
A little bit of kind of white flowers, white nuts, definitely a little bit of a hint of, like, lemon or kind of citrus peel.
Let's pour it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to turn this to Crafty Bastards, which I love saying. Crafty Bastards, Crafty Bastards. Nick Wiseman, last time we saw you...
You already said this.
I know, but I mean, you were all worried about foraging. Now you're into the Crafty Bastards craft
all
fair.
Over the place.
How did you end up there?
We were foraging through Mount Pleasant and stumbled into the City Paper office. And now we love City Paper. We really love their perspective on the indie food scene, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And the Crafty Bastards is in its eighth year running. It's a great festival. We get, you know, 40,000 people down there. And this is their first year really making a big foray into food, so we felt like it was
can you explain? Thank you very much. Can you explain what it is?
Crafty Bastards traditionally is an arts and crafts fair.
Mm-hmm.
They have over 100 vendors selling, you know, just homemade arts and crafts. And this year they're making a big foray into food, so there's three major components this year.
Okay.
There's going to be a more extension of the traditional Crafty Bastards will be a market. Have about 25 vendors selling chocolate, charcuterie,
mm-hmm.
Pastries. So a number of interesting things in the market. We got a couple of our vendors here with us today, some
mm-hmm.
more interesting vendors. We're having a do-it-yourself salon.
Because there are some boring vendors.
The other vendors are at home going, what am I, chopped liver?
Right.
We're doing a do-it-yourself salon. We have a bunch of great D.C. chefs and culinary talent talking about their crafts. Derek Brown will be there making a cider press, and Barry Coslow will be making bread and butter pickles.
Are these demonstrations?
These are demonstrations.
I think you failed to mention the two biggest celebrities who are going to be there.
And, this is awards.
Oh, you're building up.
I'm getting ready for you guys.
Okay.
And we're doing a crafty.
Oh, I just got that.
We're doing the first ever Crafty Food Awards.
Like, who the hell's coming?
Where we'll be crowning the best picklers, preservers, and brewers. It's been a tight competition. We just did our first round of judging.
Mm-hmm.
And David and Nikki Nellis will be emceeing the final event on site.
That's going to be so much fun.
You know, I've slept with him.
And so have I. So, anyway.
You've got the babies to prove it.
Yes, I do. All right, well, let's talk about the people you brought in today. Why don't you introduce them since you hand-selected them?
So these are two of the vendors that will be on site, both of whom are really interesting organizations here in D.C. The first one is Scrap D.C. It just launched. Nationally, Scrap diverted 108 million tons of waste last year through their creative upcycling projects. So they'll be on site. Ever since the plastic bag tax was introduced in D.C.,
mm-hmm.
you know, these reusable bags have come in vogue, and they'll be building creative, very crafty reusable bags on site. So,
Heather, tell us how you got into this.
Well, I was introduced to creative reuse when I lived in New Orleans for a year.
Uh-huh.
And came back and saw that D.C. didn't have very many outlets for creative reuse,
mm-hmm.
per se. Started looking into it and came across Scrap. I'm working with my co-director, Karen Klein,
mm-hmm.
and trying to promote creative reuse in the district.
So what kind of things do you do?
So our mission is to inspire creative reuse
mm-hmm.
and environmentally sustainable behavior.
Okay.
So we collect a lot of arts and crafts material.
Does that help? I compost.
That's awesome.
There we go.
Oh, you just got so many points.
I got points. Yeah, right?
Yay. Okay.
So we
yeah, I just point something out. She composts, but I'm the one that has to throw that
stuff
in.
You take it out?
There.
Yeah. You get the juice.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Who cares?
We've collected over 2.5 tons of materials just here in D.C. diverted from the waste stream.
Wow.
Things that people are either going to throw away because they don't know what to do with, their little bits of fabric, their yarn, their construction paper, mm-hmm. or things that people aren't using. A lot of people get into knitting and don't finish their projects. They don't know what to do with it. Goodwill won't take it. So scrap is a kind of a warehouse space that we can all
collect. So how do people get their scraps to you?
Well, we just have a new space.
Mm-hmm.
It is at the 52 O Street Studios in Northwest D.C.
Cool.
So right now it's by appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Scrapdc.org, find our email address, and get in touch with us to drop off your materials and to come pick them up.
Okay, well. So now what did you bring with you?
Okay, so for Crafty Bastards, Nick reached out to us to provide reusable mm-hmm. bags, but instead we're doing reuse bags. These are bags that people have donated to us that they weren't
using.
Like
you get with your wine or stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? I totally get it.
We're also partnering with Think Local First to provide more bags from D.C. businesses that they aren't using or that have gotten misprinted or something.
Cool.
So, you know, we're going to have a station there that people can decorate their bags.
Fine.
To put their jams in, to put their craft brews in.
All right.
And fun
put
for
their
kids.
Pickles in. And fun for kids. So, you know, this is, you know, the first one I made, just kind of some yarn and googly eyes.
It looks like you're having fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we're going to move to Brian.
Brian, get your
Farm
face close to that
to
microphone.
Over here. I already told you off air, I'm obsessed with what you guys are doing. Can you explain Farm to Desk, please?
Sure. Well, so what Farm to Desk does is we try to partner with schools and with teachers to provide, to kind of help build food literate citizens is what mm-hmm. is how we think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 10, 20 years, there's been a lot of great work done and the farm-to-school movement, getting fresh local food into schools, and also in the school garden movement, helping kind of build these resources mm-hmm. on-site. And we're trying to take that, like, stand on the shoulders of those movements and try to make food literacy part of the instructional core of a school.
So you mean incorporate it into the
curriculum,
program.
Into the lesson.
So do you bring it into math? Do you bring it into science? I mean, how is it infused into the curriculum?
So one thing that we're doing right now is we're in the process of building a database that has all sorts of Common Core Aligned Standards. For those who aren't really in touch with all the education reform stuff, Common Core is a national standards movement mm-hmm. that a lot of states have signed on to. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to have a series of lessons that are Common Core Aligned for math and English lessons, but they incorporate food topics and food content, nutrition topics as well. And with the idea being that teachers have a lot on their plate already, and so
literally.
Now, I mean, they hours of management, hours of planning, and so we're trying to help those teachers kind of incorporate that, really make it really seamless.
Mm-hmm. Great. And yeah. So, how does a program like what you're doing mm-hmm. connect with Crafty Bastards? Because I think your program sounds
he's
fascinating.
He's a friend of Nick's.
But right. No, but I'm just curious. Like, are you just putting a booth there? I mean, how does it work with the festival?
Sure. So what we're going to be doing at the festival is what I'm working at one school in particular right now,
mm-hmm.
E.W. Stokes Public Charter School in Ward 5.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing there is we are I'm working with third graders and sixth graders in particular.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have some sixth graders have a food stand at the market where we're going to get 250 apples donated from Toygo Orchards, which is up in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And we're going to turn those into caramel apples and work with our school chef to make applesauce and make maybe a little apple crumble. And we're going to have those and sell those on site. And then leading up to that, I'm going to do some lessons about the history of apples, do some math, apple math, and also do a few business lessons so the sixth graders will be good kind of customer service.
Just make sure they know Johnny Appleseed was real.
That sounds really incredible. What both of you are doing is really exciting, and I'm very excited for the festival. We have to take a quick break, but when we get back, we're going to give you all the details on the festival so you know where it is and how you can get there and how you can see David and I MC and have a good time.
That'll be a thrill.
We're going to talk more Sherry, and we're going to be eating exotic meats in just a sec. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Stephen Black, litigator and employment law specialist with Odin Feldman and Pittleman. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, located on the web at www.ofplaw.com. Full-service law firm, give us a call at 703-218-2100.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
When I was young, I fell in love with you. Head over heels in love. I mean crazy in love. I took you everywhere. Parties, barbecues. I even fell asleep listening to you every night. Ah, radio. But now my love affair continues thanks to HD Radio. It's got everything I've loved about radio and more. More local stations, more variety, more value, and HD radios are as low as $50. Talk about a cheap date.
Learn more at HDRadio.com. HD Radio. More stations.
More value.
More of what you listen to radio for.
Hey, this is Mike Rowe, and I'm not wearing my jeans right now. In fact, I'm not wearing any pants at all. But more on that later. Did you know that 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetimes? As the celebrity ambassador of Lee National Denim Day, it's my job to let you know that you can help us change that number by donating what you normally spend on a pair of jeans. All you have to do is go to denimday.com, enter an amount, and click donate. It's that easy. And look at that, we're out of time. Looks like you'll just have to go to denimday.com to find out why I'm half naked.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we've got Nick Wiseman and all the Crafty Bastards from the Crafty Bastards Art and Food Fair with us. Nick, we got a couple of minutes here. Tell us quickly how people can find out about the event. Is there an entrance fee? All the basic.
You can find anything about the event on the City Paper website. It's WashingtonCityPaper.com/CraftyBastards. Entrance is free. We got upwards of 40,000 people, so yeah.
Well, and where is the event? And the what event time is it at? The date? Like, let's get the full
18th
line.
In Wyoming in Adams Morgan at the Marie Reed Learning Center. It's on October 1st.
It's outdoors, though, right?
It's all outdoors.
If it rains.
We're in trouble.
We're in trouble. Sorry, wait. Okay.
There are tents there. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
Well, if it rains, it'll be emceed by Nikki Nellis.
We have tons of Crafty Bastards. I'm sure someone
will somebody's making umbrellas. There's got to be somebody making umbrellas. I'm sure.
And it is from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Excellent.
And the Crafty Food Awards will really be the highlight of the food section. We got some great judges on board.
Who's judging?
We got Nick Stefanelli from Bibiana.
Oh, he's a hack.
He is that guy.
Nick Jammet. Really a chef?
Nick Jammet from Sweet Green.
Richie Brandt. Nick Jammet.
Nick Jammet. Oh, sorry, Nick. I apologize.
God, I feel like Nick Jammet's name gets said on the show almost every week.
Well, it's French. It's hard.
Richie Brandenburg, formerly of Think Food Group. Chris Schott of the City Paper, and Daniel Fromson, who used to write with The Atlantic and now writing for The Post.
Cool.
Fantastic. All right, good set of judges.
All right, and guys, Heather and Brian, quickly tell everybody where they can find you guys online,
please,
too.
All right. You can find Scrap at scrapdc.org and on Facebook, facebook.com/scrapdc.
Excellent. All right.
And you can find Farm to Desk at farmtodesk.org.
Okay.
And we also have a large organization called Seedling Projects at seedlingprojects.org.
Excellent. All right, guys, thank you all for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
We'll see you next.
So
Max, 2 weeks.
Max,
we'll see you.
Yes. We're going to get back to Sherry.
Well, before you get in, can we just talk about this one? Because I have to be honest with you. First of all, I was surprised at the color.
Nice.
You know, I think for a lot of people, when they think Sherry, they think port. Like, I think port comes into play. I don't know why. Or
this
Madeira.
This is like a white wine.
But it just, it's so clear and clean, and it smells almost apple-y.
Definitely. So it comes from right on the coast. It's the name of the town is San Euclid Barrameda, and it's so basically the vineyards, which are all white chalk, are right, you know, the best vineyards are right on the Atlantic Ocean, so it picks up a lot of that kind of oceany, minerally, very light quality to it, and you know, the color, this pale straw color, is kind of you know, very much indicative of the Manzanilla style. The next thing we're going to do is another Fino Sherry, but something from more in the interior, from Eras de Frontera.
And what would be the difference from something on the coast versus something on the interior of the country?
So the floor, the yeast kind of grows more vigorously right there on the coast. It grows, it can grow even year-round, whereas not on the coast, it may only grow in the winter. So the, you know, you get more of the kind of flavor from that, that kind of yeasty quality, that kind of briny, you know, oceany quality. Whereas the one that we're going to taste from the interior, which is from Emilia Hidalgo, the La Panessa Fino Especial, has much, you know, greater richness while still
Oh,
well, that's okay. We can refill it now.
Right, exactly.
So a little more of a kind of a piney quality, but with still those same sort of flavors that you're getting here. So.
Okay, great. All right, well, please pour what's next. Thank you, Nick, for cleaning up my mess. All right. You want to introduce our chef?
Yeah, because we've got Ryan Fichter here from Thunderburger and Bar. And, Ryan, when we were doing the show intro, I mentioned that you have a thing for cooking up stuff that you don't often see on a menu.
Yes.
Like gator ribs and turtle poppers and black bear burgers and marinated yak. And when I read that, I was like, say what? I don't know if I'd know a yak if I fell over one. But Thunderburger implies kind of regular burgers. How did you get into yak?
I realize that DC has, you know, several different burger restaurants, and they focus on different burgers. So I wanted to try and take our concept and kind of take it to that next echelon by introducing different meats and game animals and different things that people aren't going to see every day. And basically by showcasing what I can do as a culinarian and introducing these meats to different people and kind of break them out of the norm.
Well, it's interesting because for decades there was a restaurant here, Dominique Dermo had a restaurant called Dominique's, and it was very, you know, presidents dine there, and they would serve lion and, you know, tiger, and, you know, so four people kind of gained a little bit of consciousness. Right. And I don't think there's anybody, I mean, you might find gator every now and then because gator farms are pretty prevalent in the South now, but I'm not sure that anybody else is doing this. Are you the only guy doing this?
As far as I know, the only other place that I know of that's doing anything similar is the Serbian Crown.
Right.
Other than that, I believe
but that's not local.
I'm the only one in D.C. kind of doing this concept.
Well, let's back up a little bit. Where'd you come from?
Well, I'm actually originally from Columbia, Maryland. Mm-hmm. I went to school in Hyde Park, New York at the Culinary Institute of America. Mm-hmm. I've traveled up and down the East Coast. Florida, Charlotte, and I spent the past 5 years out in Hawaii.
Oh, that's terrible.
Really? Yeah, I know.
Where were you cooking in Hawaii?
I was cooking at the Royal Kona Resort, and mm-hmm. I also did some private catering.
So what was it, what drew you to these kinds of meats? Were you doing this in Hawaii?
Well, in Hawaii, they have
wild boars
that kind of
right,
just
right,
run
right.
everywhere. They're like squirrels here
right.
in D.C.,
Here we just have domesticated boars.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pretty much. But, no, out in Hawaii, you know, you're exposed to a lot of seafood and different animals mm-hmm. and things of that nature. So I've always just, you know, loved experiencing new things and trying new things. And I figured, well, if I love it, there's got to be other people out there that want to try these
Absolutely.
Things. So why not use my, you know, talents and my restaurant to showcase these?
Where does
I want to know what brought him to D.C. Well, first, you're getting off track. But let's start with what brought you to D.C.
You know, it's my show, too.
Yeah, I don't care. What brought you to D.C.?
Well, this is my hometown, and, you know, economy kind of tanked in Hawaii.
Okay.
So I, you know, packed up and mm-hmm. drove cross country and got to experience that. And then
you drove from Hawaii?
Well, you
awesome.
Know, I took a plane,
okay, right.
shipped the truck. But
right.
Yeah, that new bridge they just built.
Right,
but,
the bridge to nowhere.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Another one.
So, yeah, you know, and I settled back home. I wasn't sure where I was going to do or if I was going to continue cooking. And, mm-hmm. you know, I called some of my old colleagues, one of which is a food vendor here in Bethesda. He owns A&H Gourmet.
Okay, sure.
And he introduced me to the owners of this restaurant and told me about the concept. And so I talked with them and, you know, decided that, yeah, I think this would work. And we came to a mutual agreement. And
great.
So
because, first of all, the restaurant, even though it's Thunder Burger, you have a full menu, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
not
we
just
do offer,
burgers.
You know, we focus on gourmet burgers with different wild game meats, but we also offer, you know, several different salads, lots mm-hmm. of different appetizers, different entrees, all desserts. We're from a scratch kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I don't make is my French fries.
Okay.
All right. So I got to ask my question now. Where does all this stuff come from? I mean,
well,
how do you call up a distributor and say, I'd like 8 pounds of yak?
Well, you know, a lot of it I did, you know, have to do some creative sourcing. I found mm-hmm. a lot of the stuff through the Internet. There's different meat companies that'll sell stuff to even people at home.
Well,
right.
I mean, are there domestically farmed yaks?
Yes, there are, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about yak specific, because I don't think that's an animal a lot of people are familiar with locally especially. So is that similar to
Yeah, it's an Asian cow.
That's what I was going to say.
It's a very, very lean cow.
Okay, like bison.
White bison. It's actually leaner than bison.
Wow,
I believe the whole
bison.
Animal only has 5% body fat, 5 to 7% body fat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's super healthy meat for you
right.
to eat.
And what about its flavor? I mean, does
its
it give a lot?
Its flavor is very similar to like a sirloin steak.
Okay.
We're looking at food here. Is any of this yak or this
is
boar?
What we have is this is actually one of our specialty burgers that we do here at Thunder Burger. It's a called Pig in a Cow Suit. It's a 8-ounce all natural. Grass-fed, hormone-free, antibiotic-free beef patty that's topped with cheddar cheese. And then I do a kind of combination of a Hawaiian and Carolina-style barbecue and put that on top with barbecue sauce and then what
now,
I
let
call...
Let me ask a question.
That looks gorgeous.
Who
it's
wants
beautiful.
To see me take a bite of this? Because
okay.
we're on TV. Oh, yeah.
This is going to make more mess than when I spilled the sherry. I'm pretty sure of it.
Well, I'm not going to say the same thing you said.
Okay, well,
are you ready?
Mistake.
I'm dripping.
There you go. Oh, my God, it looks good.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Cool.
Yay.
Beautiful.
Very nice. So now that you've got this, what has been the response locally to the Wild Wednesdays?
Yeah, actually, I think it's been very well received.
Are you getting any hate mail? Is PETA coming after you?
No PETA coming after me, no hate mail, no people throwing blood at the restaurant. Please don't do that.
Right, please. Hello, we're not looking to start it. I'm not looking to start it.
But
God, that was good.
It's been very well received. We have a loyal group of followers that come in every Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And they really, really, you know, are excited about what I'm doing. You know, I get a chance to go up and talk to them. And
I think that people would be interested. I mean, as long as, you know, look, you're using grass-fed. I mean, clearly you're committed to, you know, humane,
yeah, humanely
treated.
Humanely raised, sustainable
animals. I assume that goes with all. Well, and I think sustainable is the key word here. I mean, that is what you are doing by reaching out and using different product. Do you disagree?
You don't farm black bears, so...
No,
we talked about
farm.
That before.
They are nomadic. That people are allowed to hunt them.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you're given one tag per hunting season.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get any... I mean, people don't come to you and say, why bears when there's so few? I mean, my impression is that they're not endangered, but they're not...
I don't think that's true.
Actually, they're... As far as I know, they're actually nuisances.
Right. There's something in the paper today. I know you brought some one thing in the paper, but there's something else in the paper today that talks about a black bear was sighted somewhere like Woodbridge, Virginia.
Yeah, it was a mom
Woodbridge,
and a baby.
Virginia.
Right.
My cousin who lives in Georgia had one walk across her yard the other day,
right.
And so.
No, the article I found in the paper was these two guys thought they were hunting a black bear, and they wounded it, and it turned out to be a grizzly that ate one of the hunters.
Yeah, well, so.
So at his restaurant, he eats hunters.
Right. We have to take a quick break. Right? Am I right? Quick break. Okay, but when we come back, you have an incredible beer program.
Yes.
And you brought some gorgeous beers in, so I think we should certainly
discuss
those.
Sure.
This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be talking
beers.
Wait,
don't say beast around him. He'll want to cook me.
Wait a second. Maybe I finally found my way out.
Ah, the insurance.
Okay, I hope it's paid up. We'll be back in just a sec.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
The Bethesda Central Farm Market, you guys, is awesome. They close off Elm Street in Bethesda every Sunday from 9 to 1. They've got 40-plus vendors with everything from local organic produce and meats and poultry and breads and coffee and chocolate and olive oils and cheeses and more. It's really unbelievable, and it's free parking, which I really love because, you know, I'm cheap. So go and check it out because we go there every week. We get fresh fruit and veggies and berries from Twin Springs Farms, a lot of great organic produce from Bending Bridge Farm. The guys at Walnut Hill have free-range eggs. There's cheese from Cowgirl Creamery, cookies, muffins, and cakes from Cat's Paw. I mean, it's an amazing assortment of vendors. So go to Bethesda Central Farm Market every Sunday from 9 to 1 in Bethesda on Elm Street. They close the street off, so it's easy walking around. And if you want to know more, go to BethesdaCentralFarmMarket.com. If Foodie and the Beast tell you to go, it's good.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her. While she sleeps. No, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep, go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she's gonna love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, we're back on Fooding the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and Ryan Fichter of Thunderburger is in here with all kinds of groovy stuff
well,
to
I
eat.
Just, can
Wait,
we talk
no,
about,
no,
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 yes, yes,
no.
yes. I wanted to talk about the kangaroo. I just had kangaroo.
Yes,
it was
did.
Really delicious, very meaty. Tell us a little bit about that kind of protein, because I've never had it before.
Well, the protein, it's actually one of the leanest red meats that you can get. It's full of albumin, which means it's rich in iron.
Mm-hmm.
It's super healthy for you. It does have a very pungent taste to it.
I did not find it pungent at all.
But what I did was I kind of softened that pungentness by adding, you know, sautéed onions, a little bit of bread.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I did was I cooked it in a sherry with
How
mushrooms.
How apropos, right?
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, it's really, really tasty.
All right, I get to jump in with a question because we want to talk about your brunch, which is...
And your beer program.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
We have a lot to do.
What's the craziest thing, the most unconventional thing you've ever cooked up?
Oh, wow. Probably bear to date, but coming up, we got some python just in the restaurant.
Say what?
Yeah. We got some Burmese python. I'm actually kind of working on how that's going
to... No, it's the only burger that'll hug you.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, Wild Wednesday is not... focused on burgers. It's focused on the game itself.
Sure.
So it'll be coming in different forms. And so that's quite nice.
All right. Well, let's talk about your beer program because you have an event on Monday, right?
Yes, we do have
so
an event.
So tell us about it.
Our event is...
Yum.
He's looking at it.
It's the release of Fat Tire in D.C.
And what is Fat Tire?
Fat Tire is a craft beer...
Oh, okay. So, it's the first time that they're releasing here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, first time releasing in D.C.
Max knows. Tell us, Max.
It's from Colorado. It's had quite a following. As a matter of fact, there was a bar in D.C. that would bring it in gray market from from Carolina, which was the closest state that had before with Black Squirrel. But now their beers are being launched in D.C. or have been launched partially.
So what's the event on Monday
it's,
night?
It's New Belgian,
mm-hmm.
And it's basically their release party.
Excellent.
And so we're really excited to have them. We also do different beer dinners. Our beer program is focused on craft beers, those being like made by Oma Gang and Dogfish and Sam Adams, the small craft brewers.
Right. Now, tell us about brunch, because I know you redid your brunch program and you launched it in September, right?
What we're trying to do is this program, it's focusing on getting back to brunch, getting people out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing, I believe, 10 to 11 different variations of Bloody Marys now.
Cool.
One of them is a...
I mean, I'm glad you brought the beer, but Bloody Mary would have been good, too.
Boy, that was... Naked lust for a Bloody Mary.
I do like them. So. When they're really spicy.
Yeah.
I like them
we
really
have
really spicy
ones. We have one made with ginger. There's one with it's a green one. It's made with cucumbers and poblano peppers.
Yum.
And
what can people find on your menu for brunch?
On our menu for brunch, you find different, egg variations. You know, we have eggs Chesapeake. We have breakfast sliders, which are poached eggs on top of our burger patties.
And are you getting more requests? I mean, I know the game is focused on Wednesdays for the more exotic, mm-hmm. but are you getting requests from people who are like, hey, man, I would eat that any day of the week?
Yeah, we do find it. And we found that, sometimes I don't sell out on Wednesdays. So if you ask and it's on the board, we probably still have it available.
And I would assume a lot of this product is only available in limited quantities anyway. I mean, is that accurate?
Yes. I normally buy 10 to 20 pounds of the product at
a
time.
Okay.
All right. Well, I want to make sure everybody knows your address and how to find you guys online.
Sure. Yeah. Our email address is thunderburger.com,
mm-hmm.
and our address is 3056 M Street in Northwest Washington, D.C., right in the heart of Georgetown, right up the block from the Barnes & Noble, right across from the Old Stone House.
Oh, I know exactly where you are. And you're a real rock and roll, like, interior, right?
Yeah, rock and roll interior.
It's all, like, studded and...
studded walls.
Cool.
And
sounds like our bedroom. Nice.
Right.
Very nice.
Well, Chef, thank you so much for bringing in all this delicious food today and coming in and letting us... we got a real education about exotic meats. And my husband was ready to, like, really...
I wasn't going to attack. I was worried about the poor bears.
He was worried about the bears.
All right, thanks.
But now he's like, bring it on. Yeah. Have it like a bear burger, please.
The hell with the bears. Bring me a burger. All right, so back to Max. Max, are you there, Max?
Yeah.
Here's the question. Seriously, why? I mean, what's your device for really convincing people to put Sherry sort of front and center?
Well, I think part of it is suggesting things that might accompany it. You know, one of the things with the two sherries we started with, they are just natural with a lot of the bites you'd have at a Stadio to start. You know,
This is great. This would be great with fish, for example.
It would. It would be great with fish, but it would also, I mean, it would certainly work with, like, bacalao or something like that. But it could also work with just munching on olives or almonds or, you know, whatever you might start with. So I view these two as, you know, just great things to suggest as aperitifs.
Right.
Whereas maybe...
Well, especially with the food at Estadio, like the pinchos, right?
Exactly.
Did I say that correctly?
No, definitely.
Okay, good, thank God. Yeah. I better at this point. and the other, you know, small plates that you have there. But, you know, you guys also offer so many... other delicious things.
Right. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, it's hard to get someone to do this over a slushito or something.
Pour-on.
But, you know, if someone mentions, you know, wanting a nice dry white wine to start, it's not too much of a leap to say, well, have you thought about a manzanilla?
Right.
Have you thought, you know, and...
And do people look at you and are they like, what?
They get oftentimes, but, you know, they, you know, it doesn't take too much to explain, no, here, have a sip, you know.
Right.
And we all, you know, I love bringing people just a little taste of things because...
Right.
Otherwise, they're not going to try it. So.
Okay, great. So what are we going to get to taste next? And I have to say, I don't think we could have planned this any better if we tried, considering Haleo is here, and they have paella,
and now
we're drinking sherry. It all just goes together so beautifully.
And cookies.
The sherry could go with cookies, right?
And we're getting into slightly richer sherries, and then the last one we're going to do has a little bit of sweetness to it.
Okay.
But the next one is from Gutierrez Calacia. It's an Oloroso, so versus the other two sherries we had, it's fortified to a higher alcoholic strength, so therefore the floor doesn't grow. So it doesn't have that same sort of, you know, briny, yeasty quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
It has more of a richer kind of caramel, darker nutty, maybe even a hint of, like, fig and that kind of thing, but still bone dry, great acidity.
Great.
This could be, you know, used with a lot of food, actually. So
excellent.
See what you think.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to tasting it. And now we have
Now we're going to talk about the taste of Bethesda.
I know. It's very exciting.
All right. And we've got Stephanie Coppola, not related to Francis Ford Coppola.
Unfortunately.
Right,
right? You're like, yeah.
That really sucks.
Go ahead.
From the Bethesda Urban Partnership, and they're the folks who put it on. We've got Sarah Kirshner of Bundles of Cookies, somebody that we've actually known indirectly for many years.
Indirectly. We use your product a lot.
Thank you.
Jorge Figueredo, did I say that right?
Very good.
Well, thank you, who's
Italian
the GM.
Comes in handy.
And Chef Ramon Martinez, who's the head chef at Haleo Bethesda, Jose Andres, one of his many great restaurants. And you know, Stephanie, let's start with you. We live in Kensington. We're right nearby, and we love the taste of Bethesda. You've done this for, like, 22
Excellent.
Years,
yes,
right?
Yes, this is the 22nd annual year.
So
were you
tell
guys
us
the first ones to do it?
I know it's been around for a very long time, yes, and
right.
It wasn't even started by our organization. It was actually started by just a group of restaurants and the Chamber of Commerce. At the time, we didn't even exist yet.
Oh, wow.
So it was the restaurant folks getting together and saying, you know, we need to do something to promote the restaurant community here. So 22
mm-hmm.
years ago, they got together.
Right.
And then when we came into existence a few years after that, our organization took it over because our goal is to market downtown Bethesda and do great festivals for the community and promote the restaurants and the shops. And
mm-hmm.
So we've been doing it since the middle 90s.
Okay.
So tell us about this year's festival. Give us the 411.
All the background is it's an exciting year for us because we have a record number of participating restaurants. We have 60 restaurants.
Now, does that include both sides of Bethesda?
It does. If you're part of the Bethesda Urban Partnership in downtown Bethesda's boundary, it's downtown Bethesda.
Okay.
Which is, you know, Bradley Boulevard to the south, Woodmont and Wisconsin Avenue to the north. So it's Woodmont Triangle and Bethesda Row, Wisconsin Avenue, that
so everybody's
section.
In. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Everybody's in. You can't be outside of that
Haleo's
boundary.
Haleo's here, and they're on the Bethesda Row
That's
side.
Right.
Okay, great.
So 60 restaurants this year. We're super excited about that. We've had lots of new restaurants open in downtown Bethesda, and many of them are participating, so we're excited about that.
Great.
And then we have lots of folks, you know, like Bundles and Haleo have been doing the event for a number of years, and I think it's, and they can speak to this, but I think it's great marketing for them. Mm-hmm. I think the folks who come to the event expect to see this 10-foot paella pan. I think they expect to taste
their
yummy dessert at the festival.
Well, let's just jump in to say that what's in front of me is not a 10-foot paella pan.
No, but it's a very nice
it's big enough,
pan.
And it looks great.
Right, it's gorgeous.
And I don't have a fork.
I know.
Terrible.
We have some outside. I'll get some outside.
Oh, yay.
So
thank you, Chef Ramon.
In addition to the food, we also have live entertainment. We have a kids area.
But you have a lot of bands this year, right?
We do. We have 10 different bands that will be doing live music throughout, you know, the 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. time slot on October 1st. So, you know, it's a fun day in Bethesda. We want you to come early. We want you to enjoy the music. We want you to taste lots of food. Mm-hmm. We recommend don't eat the day before.
Right.
So you're very hungry and you're ready to come and just eat all day and try all the great food in Bethesda.
I love it. Well, let me just ask, just for pricing, how do people, so do you buy tickets? How does it work?
You do. It's free to enter the event. We've got ticket tents on site, so you just come straight to the ticket tent and you buy four tickets for $5. So
okay.
We recommend, you know, you spend $10 or $15.
It's a family-friendly event.
I mean,
it's really for everybody.
It's super family-friendly. Lots of family-friendly foods in addition to the gourmet foods and the desserts. You know, you kind of just, your palate goes all over the world, and you can experience so many different tastes in Bethesda.
Excellent. All right, well, since David is Breaking Bad on the...
I'm not going to ask any questions.
On the paella. Chef from Haleo, let's start with you, please. Tell us about... First of all, the two paellas you brought in today, and we'd love to hear from you guys on what?
They brought two?
Yeah, there's one behind you.
But it's vegetables, so don't worry.
Ramon.
Okay. Sorry.
I love you, Ramon.
Steering director. So tell us about the two that you brought in today and, you know, why doing these sort of festivals works for Haleo.
So we brought two paellas today. That's the ones that
we're going to make, actually, on the... Taste of Bethesda.
Uh-huh.
We had the chicken and mushrooms and a vegetable paella because we found out there is a lot of vegetarians around, so we want to make sure that these people have the chance to taste the paella as well.
Very smart. Now, what did you put? You put a little white cream on top.
Yeah, I put d'aglio olio. It's an emulsion with olive oil, garlic, and a little bit of salt.
It sounds
and
terrible.
And actually, he can tell you the difference between...
Look at him, he's got food all over him, like down his shirt.
He's doing all the paella, actually.
Yeah, I know.
That's why
he comes to the
later
show.
It used to
just be me, now it's him, just so he can eat everything. It's okay.
So these events for us, I mean, is something amazing because there is a lot of people, they can see how we make like 8-foot paella, which is amazing. It's a big event. There is a lot of work behind, a lot of things involved in.
Sure.
And it's kind of a show. It's amazing.
Oh, no, I've seen you. I mean, we've been, of course. I mean, we live near Bethesda, we've been several times. I want to talk more about how you all make the paella, but we have to take a break in a little bit, and I want to get into Sarah. So, Sarah, I just want to tell you, 10 years ago.
13.
No, 10.
Okay.
He's 23.
Oh, wow.
So 10 years ago, we had a bar mitzvah for our son, and we went to Bundles of Cookies. I think you guys haven't been around that long.
It's been 13 years.
Okay, so, and we, all the kids' tables, you did these gorgeous centerpieces for.
Yeah.
With the cookies. It was great.
You don't remember?
You don't remember? No. And the kids,
if you told me the cookie designs, I probably would.
The kids loved them.
They were round.
They loved them. It was such a great idea. So tell us just a little bit about Bundles of Cookies.
Well, we're a little boutique cookie shop that specializes in hand-decorated cookies. They're all of an almond-based, so that's kind of what we're known for.
Right, and they're big and thick.
They are, because we do them as arrangements.
Right.
So you can purchase them individually wrapped as favors, or you can do them as you did, with where they're presented kind of like a floral arrangement on sticks, although I'm sure you did yours more in the round so they could go in the center of a table and everybody would see them. But And then they serve a dual purpose, and you probably served them to your guests for dessert.
Right.
As well.
Well, no, they were like the favors. Everybody, the kids, just took them home. It was just so great because they were just grabbing them. It was fabulous. I love that.
It's a customized gift, personalized gift without being too personal.
I got a question for both of you guys. When you do an event like this, what?
We only have 1 minute.
All right. Well, when you do an event like this, how much
Andy
food do you...
Strict. 1 minute.
Will you be quiet? How do you figure out how much food to prepare and stock for an event like this when you've got gazillions of people that could show up? Like, how many cookies do you make? How much paella?
Well, on the paella case, for example, we would make a lot of, like, these paellas. But this year, for example, we're going to use, like, 100 pounds of Valencia rice, 80 pounds of chicken thighs, 50 pounds of mixed mushrooms, 100 quarts of mushroom stock, 2 ounces of saffron. So.
All right. And what about cookies? I mean, how many?
I think we went through about 2,000 units last year. Wow. Based on what we were doing, we're requested or asked to at least provide 1,000 tastings.
Okay.
So you kind of gauge it from there. And then having done it for 13 years, you live in, you know, you learn.
We've
learning
been to this
experience.
Event. I mean, it's like flocks of birds.
All right. We had to take a quick break. But when we come back, I'd love to talk about how you prepare for an event of that size. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are still sipping sherry. We actually have a little beer in
the
studio.
And I'm eating paella.
And my husband is eating for a change. We'll be back in just a sec.
There is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Stephen Black, litigator and employment law specialist with Odin Feldman and Pittleman. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, located on the web at www.ofplaw.com. Full-service law firm. Give us a call at 703-218-2100.
And we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're talking Taste of Bethesda, but before we get back to our guests, I just want to thank all the people that make this show possible and support us and tell everybody else who doesn't that they should be ashamed of themselves. Georgetown Bagelry, the people at Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's Rustico and Vermilion and Buzz and Birch and Barley and Church Key, all those great restaurants.
Yeah.
Founding Farmers down on Pennsylvania Avenue, and Farmers and Fishers in Georgetown, about to come back big.
Mm-hmm.
And the Modus Hospitality Group with Notte Bianchi, Dish, and Circle Bistro.
Right.
Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers. Thank you, guys. And the Bethesda Central Farm Market.
Yes.
Other big supporters.
Big supporters.
All right. So why don't we, real quick, just, you wanted to ask preparation question.
Well, before we get to preparation, I mean, Sarah, clearly you've changed a little bit.
We have.
Because you're not just doing the big almond cookies. I mean, you came in with whoopie pies and it looks like bars. Did you change your concept a little bit, or did you just decide I want to cook other things?
Trying to keep it fresh, incorporating a few other items. We are not a nut-free product, so we try and provide other products that don't necessarily have nuts in them, because our almond cookies do.
Sure.
And so we've tried to kind of keep up with the trends. At one point, whoopie pies were going to be the next cupcake, so we decided we'd kind of get on board. And
but even though they're not the next cupcake, they are really good.
They are really good, and you can have as much fun with them as you can with anything else, with the flavors and the fillings and the... So we brought a pumpkin one today with the cream cheese filling, red velvet with cream cheese filling, and then the traditional, which is with the
You think there are whoopie pies
filling.
Out there that feel like failures?
I've tried some that probably don't live up to the hype.
No, but I mean, do they at night, do they consider, you know, like suicide because they're not
cupcakes? No.
So how do you, I mean, considering that you do lots of events and, you know, you're doing large-scale things, but 2,000 units for a single day, how far in advance do you guys have to start planning for that?
A week in advance. I probably have my numbers together the month before we go to start preparing what we're going to do, make sure we have all the ingredients necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And the baking really is a last-minute crunch because it's fresh.
Right, of course.
So all the whoopie pies are assembled on-site, but the cakes and everything are done in-house.
Mm-hmm.
The bars are all baked. the day, 2 days before.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of plating, a lot of packaging. We've kind of eased the process in terms of packaging by eliminating the packaging and doing it more for this is a taste, grab it and eat it. We want you to sample it right there.
Oh, yeah,
we don't want
imagine,
it to be something
like,
you take away.
Right.
But we used to individually wrap everything, tie it with bows. You know, presentation was great, but we've kind of gotten away from that. Again, you learn after you...
Not to be a masochist. All right. Well,
and Chef,
Jorge and Ramon have to get out of here because they have a big event pretty soon.
Right,
so.
With Jose Andre. But tell us, you know, how do you guys prepare? How many big paella pans do you make in a single day at the Taste of Bethesda?
We're going to make 3 big paellas.
3, wow.
3, which it feeds...
And how does one... How much does one feed?
8 feet.
It's 8 feet, but how much...
Yeah.
Oh, give or take, does it
around 250-300 people
okay.
per paella.
Wow. So
yeah,
it's
a lot.
Of
paella,
it's
yeah.
lot.
Actually, last year we did 1,200.
Do you ever get sick of paella?
1,200.
Do you go, paella, paella, save me from this paella
at the end of the day.
Do you find that people want to chat with you? I mean, that they want to tell you how much they love...
They love
products,
it. They come close to the paella. They want to get the paddle. They want to steer the rice. They love to be involved on all the process.
They're taking pictures.
Oh, everybody taking
pictures.
Taking pictures
of people taking pictures of their pants.
How many people tell you that they're close friends of Jose's?
Everybody.
Okay, because we are close friends.
But, no, everybody does. Well, because he's that kind of person.
He's
so kind and personable. And everybody, when he's with you,
right,
he makes you
we're going to have to do this.
Okay.
Give us the who, what, where, when, why.
Saturday, October 1st, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. is the Taste of Bethesda.
And where is it exactly?
Norfolk Avenue, Fairmont Avenue, St. Elmo, Cordell, and Delray in downtown Bethesda.
Oh, my God, it's expanded.
It's big. Visit Bethesda.org, which is our website. We list all 60 restaurants. We have their menu items up. We list the entertainment. We give directions to the event site. Parking's free in downtown Bethesda on Saturdays and Sundays. So
great.
No excuses not to come out.
No excuses. Parking is available.
That's right.
All right, great. Thank
all right, guys,
you all.
Thank you very much.
Jorge,
you didn't get a word in edgewise,
did you?
No,
he said 1,200.
He said 1,200.
We got 1,200.
All right, let's get back to Max. Max, you love Sherry, right?
I do.
Does she love you as the
But all month long, you guys are focusing on Sherry at Estadio. And so what are you kind of doing to introduce people to it?
Well, we are offering flights, Sherry flights.
Okay.
They're changing.
Like what we're doing
yeah,
today?
Yeah, kind of basically what we're doing. So basically, we're changing them up weekly. So we're choosing 3 different sherries a week and 1 sherry cocktail that Anna Burbach makes, some delicious sherry cocktails.
His cocktails can be very tasty.
They can. And so basically we're doing 3 half pours of different sherries, kind of the range, like kind of what you're experiencing here.
Right.
And then 1 sherry cocktail for $16. So you
well,
can
let me ask. I mean, so when you poured this sherry, which one is this again?
This is an Olorosis.
But this is what I think of. I think this is what most people think of, given the color of sherry. Like
and
your first one was white, you know, almost clear.
Right.
And I just think, and the taste, like is a little richer. It is a little sweeter. Not in a negative way, just... You know, because I think sometimes if you say sweet with wine, people are like, ugh, White Zinfandel.
But it definitely has a richness, but it's still, I mean, I find it, I mean, it has like that hint of caramel and definitely some intense kind of pecan nuttiness, but it actually, you know, finishes with such good acidity.
Absolutely.
And so it finishes kind of bone dry.
You know, Max, you have some nuttiness yourself.
I do.
It runs in the family. All right, well, you've got one more.
We
why
got
don't
one
you tell
more.
Us about it?
Yeah, so also one thing to I should note, the grape. I didn't mention the grape.
It's oh, my God. How could you not have mentioned the grape?
So the grape in all of these is Palomino.
Okay. Is that involved in any other wines?
So it makes fairly insipid wines for the most part everywhere else.
Okay.
Except for in Eras. And that is basically, it has a really unique set of growing conditions there. The soils are all white chalk.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hot, and it's quite wet. So
nothing about that sounds sexy at all.
Well, so basically, though, the chalk soils keeps the moisture really well.
Mm-hmm.
And so the heat is kind of tolerable. Whereas growing Palomino and... A lot of other places just doesn't work.
Just doesn't do
but it really works really well here. There is another grape, though, that enters into the picture sometimes called Pedro Jimenez. And that grape is a sweet grape.
Okay.
So this wine is actually 95% Palomino, but there is 5% Pedro Jimenez. There are straight 100% Pedro Jimenezes.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, you have an Amontillado, so that's... The first two were Finos.
Okay.
Basically, when Finos stay in cask for maybe over 10 years,
right.
they start to get darker, kind of nuttier, brown color. So this is that, an Amontillado as the base with just a little bit of Pedro Ximénez to give it kind of this off-dry.
Well, I'm
going
to have to jump in here.
I'm going to give you the hook.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm giving you the hook.
Yeah, give me the hook.
Because we've got to end the show.
Fair enough.
An hour flies by.
So let's pour this.
Would you please? Thank you.
All right, so here's the point. You guys heard us jam-pack a lot of information into this show. There's so much more to know and find out about and do. And if you will just go to thelistareyouonit.com and register, it's free to register. You will find information about literally hundreds of near-term events and activities all over
and long-term,
greater D.C. region, and exclusive articles and features and all kinds of...
The Taste of Bethesda is on there.
Taste of Bethesda. So go to the list where you want it.
Is on there.
Okay, I'm
it's
promoting you. Be quiet. And you can also follow Nikki on Twitter. And if you're around for a couple more minutes, you can at about 10 of 1, you can hear her on WTOP talking about the cool stuff coming up this week.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So,
So, as we do on every show, we like to point out a specific charity. This is one that I am personally getting involved with. So do you want to tell everybody
about it? Well, it's called Stuff the Bus, and it helps you feed the hungry. Avenga, which is the restaurant-centric mobile app that you guys have started hearing about. It's very
cool. Well, we had the guys on the show, Avenga guys, on the show.
It premieres Stuff the Bus this week. It's a mobile fresh food drive to benefit D.C. Central Kitchen, and hopefully everybody knows what that is. Now through September 30th, you can bring donations to D.C. Central Kitchen or purchase products from the Avenga Bus. Yes.
You can bring products to the bus. And then they will then bring it to D.C. Central Kitchen. That's how it works.
I don't know.
I know you don't know.
All right.
And also, next Sunday morning, prior to the show, I'm going to be at DuPont Circle helping them stuff the bus. So please bring products. You can actually buy products there at the market and at the bus, all which will be donated to D.C. Central Kitchen. Big stars, celebrities all around D.C. are participating. So it's going to be a lot of fun. All the chefs, Mike Isabella, Spike Mendelsohn, Cookie Roberts, Chef Jeff, me, Amanda McClemens from Epicurean. So we're all going to be doing it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Why didn't you do this? All right, we've got 1 month, minute, so we're going to pass on my famous quote. Let's talk about next week because we have Mike McCarthy from Cap City Brewing.
Who's coming in with Oktoberfest
brewskis.
And Ridgewell's Catering is coming in. We're going to be talking about how to entertain in season. And Taste of D.C. is coming back. It's been gone for a couple of years, but they're coming back later in October.
Yeah, and so, listen, don't forget Taste of Bethesda, because if you haven't been there, even if you're not in the Bethesda area, it is worth the hike, because it is an awesome event. Kid you not.
Okay, we want to thank all our guests who came in today. We have Max Keller here, all the people who are representing Taste Bethesda, Thunder Burger, and all the Crafty Bastards people. Thanks for coming in today. Thanks for bringing in all your products. And everybody else, have a delicious week.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are so...